Guys, I'm going to talk to you today about maintaining moral purity. So I have a lot of challenges, opportunities, we'll say, to be in the counseling office and be talking to couples. And it could range from a young couple to an older couple. Ones that you would never expect are having any kind of problems, having any kind of difficulties. And I'll be in this setting and I'll find out that there has been an affair. There's been infidelity. And I have seen in these situations the heartbreak, the pain that this causes, the turmoil that it causes, the challenge that it is to even be able to save the marriage. And it's devastating. It's a really difficult situation to see that. And it seems like it's happening all the time. George Barna's research group did a study on this subject, and their studies found out that 35% of married men have had an affair. 17% of married women have had an affair. And that does not include the statistics that relate this to pornography. I believe there is a relation between infidelity, between an affair and pornography. There is definitely a connection here. Joel Hesch of Proven Men's Ministries has studied that. He has studied the impact that pornography, the usage of pornography, has on the marriage relationship and one of the couples having an affair. He said, "It is little surprise that the more frequently a married person looks at porn, which is a form of sexually fantasizing about someone other than their spouse, the more likely they will act upon their fantasy through a sexual affair." And so it's rampant. It's all around us. And so I ask the question today, is it possible for us as Christian men to be morally pure in a polluted world? Is it possible for us to maintain our moral purity? And I have an opportunity today to talk to you. I understand this is not a counseling session. This is not after there has been an affair. This is kind of like before, having an opportunity to speak to you before this even happens, talk to you before it even happens. And there's some key things we have to know. Each one of us has to look at ourselves, and we have to know what are our weak areas. Where are the areas where we are vulnerable? What are the areas in our life where we could easily stumble, where we could easily fall? We have to look at our life, and we have to know what those weak areas are. We have to know that there is an enemy that is coming against us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to take us down. Satan wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy families. Therefore, hurt the church, damage the church. This is his ploy. The Bible says he is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so we have to know that there is an enemy and that he has tactics to bring us down. And so we have to have a strategy. We have to know how to fight, how we are going to fight against this to stay morally pure. And we have to be willing to pay the price, to do what it takes to win this battle, to win this war, to make sure we stay strong as men of God. I love in the Old Testament, I think last time I spoke at Man Up, I spoke about New Testament Joseph, and today I want to speak about Old Testament Joseph. I love the story of Joseph and his life and the ups and downs in his life, and there's many principles from Joseph's life that we can apply to our own lives. And I want to pick up the story in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, beginning with verse 1, says this. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in the house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. And he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" And she spoke to Joseph day after day. He did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hands and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed. Then he heard that I raised my voice and screamed. He left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to me to make sport of me. And as I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." And we'll stop the story right there. And I believe that there's some principles as we look at Joseph's life and we look at this story in particular in the life of Joseph. There's some principles that we can apply to our own lives as we try to live morally pure lives. Four principles I want to teach you this afternoon. The first one is this: be aware of situations where you are vulnerable. Be aware of situations where you're vulnerable. Now think about where Joseph is, where this is taking place. Joseph had been sold to Potiphar. Potiphar was the captain of Pharaoh's bodyguards. Basically, he was like the security chief. And he was responsible for executing, for taking care of anyone who Pharaoh didn't want around. He would clean up the situation. And Joseph did very well under Potiphar. He, as the word says, he had God's favor upon him in this house. If you think about the situation, you think about where Joseph is at this time. Joseph was torn from his father. He had this great relationship with his father, and now he's torn from his father, away from his father, thinking that he will never see his father again. He's in a strange, different culture, speaking a different language. And here he is like a piece of property, sold like a piece of property. In the midst of all this, for Joseph, God strengthens him. God shows him his favor. The thing I love about Joseph is he's able to adjust to different situations. And Joseph, in this situation, is able to adjust. He was sold into slavery when he was about 17 years old. And now he's about in his mid-20s. And he is in charge of everything that Potiphar owned. Potiphar really trusted him. He trusted Joseph with everything. He trusted him so much to where he just kind of let him do his thing. He didn't even really have to check in on him. That tells us something right there. You are always most vulnerable when you are in an isolated circumstance where you could really get away with something. You could do something and no one would even know. You're in a vulnerable situation when you're in an isolated circumstance. I remember one time I went to a pastor's conference out of town, and I traveled there on my own, and no one else from the church went with me. And then at the end of the long day of being in the conference, I went back to the hotel room, and I was all alone, and there was temptation there, because I was alone with the television, and they had all kinds of channels on that television, and I was tempted. This is not something that I would, you know, normally look at, but I knew that there was an opportunity right now for me to look at some things that I know I shouldn't be looking at. And what I did is I called my wife. I talked to my wife, and I told her, I have some temptation around me right now. And fortunately, I have a great wife, a wife who believes in me, who encourages me, and she didn't say, you know, you're disgusting, you know. It's horrible that you're tempted. What kind of guy are you? She had understanding. And we talked. And she helped me through that. And, you know, we didn't talk about that situation, but we just talked. And that was, you know, I was able easily to get through that. You imagine Joseph. He's in his mid-20s. He's single. He has the sex drive of a young man. And here he is in this situation. He's working for the rich and the famous. You are vulnerable when you are successful and you're attractive. That really doesn't apply to anyone in this room. Just kidding. Just kidding. Success always opens up new temptations. The more successful you get, the more prominent you get, it opens up new temptations. There's only three people in the Bible where it says that they are good looking. They had a good appearance. There's only three men in the Bible that are considered good looking. Joseph, David, Absalom. All three were hit with sexual temptations. Two of them failed. You think about the men that women are attracted to. Men that are successful. Men that are confident. Men that are competent in what they do. Men that are powerful, that have some sort of influence and power. These are the men that women are most likely to be attracted to. And we've seen that. We've seen that. We've been in situations where we've seen that. We've seen powerful people, influential people fall and not be able to resist the temptations that they were that was put before them. Also, men who are good listeners, men who are willing to listen to women and have understanding. You are vulnerable when you are alone with emotional, needy women. Potiphar's wife was in that category. Potiphar's wife was needy. When you're in a situation and you're talking to a woman, and first you're just talking about, you know, meaningless things, shallow things, but then you start talking about more meaningful things, more significant things. You start talking about emotions. You're going down a really dangerous place. And then you start talking about the marriage struggles. And then she starts sharing her marriage struggles. Now you are very vulnerable. You're in a very bad spot. And then also for yourself, you are vulnerable when you are emotionally needy. In Celebrate Recovery, we use the acrostic HALT, H-A-L-T. And you are most vulnerable when you are hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Those are the times when you are really vulnerable. We think about this with Joseph. Joseph was lonely. His mother had died. He was separated from his father. His brothers had rejected him, sold him into slavery. And so here he is, a slave without friends, on his own. And here comes Potiphar's wife. And the thing about sexual temptation is sexual temptation is never just physical. Sexual temptation is much more than just physical. So for the married men, it is crucial that we strengthen our marriages. It is crucial that we have strong communication with our wives, that we are always working to build, to improve our marriages. When I'm in these counseling situations, you know, I've learned that we're all sinful. So therefore, we all are susceptible to fall into temptation, to fall into sin. We are all susceptible just because we are sinful. But we are more susceptible, we are more vulnerable when our marriages are not strong. And so in these infidelity situations, when I'm counseling with the couples, you know, I'm asking, where was your marriage when this happened? You know, if on a scale of 1 to 10, how was your marriage? How strong was your marriage when this happened? You think they both say, oh, it was a 9 or a 10. It was just really good. Maybe sometimes one of them says that. One of them says it was really good. It was like a 9 or a 10. And the other person's like, no, it was like a 3 or a 4. Not good. But generally, the marriage is not strong. And therefore, there's a susceptibility to give in to the temptation. And so we have to have strong communication. We have to make sure our marriages are strong and we're working on our marriages and working to be the type of husbands that are glorifying to God in the way that we act, the way that we treat our spouse. For the single men, it still applies to you as well. You don't have the situation where you're trying to strengthen a marriage, but you're trying to grow in the Lord yourself and stay morally pure yourself and lean into God and grow in your faith as a single man. And you still have temptations yourself coming at you. And so it's important to lean into God in your life. Be aware of these situations where you are vulnerable. The second truth from Joseph's life is to be aware of how temptation works. Look at the story. She is a needy woman, and he is a vulnerable man who is also a servant of God. And her words are, lie with me. She says, lie with me. Imagine Joseph. Imagine the temptation that Joseph feels when she says this, lie with me. And then her persistence. It says that she spoke to Joseph day after day. So it's not like he can just say no one time. She's coming back over and over again, day after day, the same question. She tried to wear him down. Now that's much more difficult. It reminds me of, you know, the society we live in today, the polluted world that we live in, and the advertisements that come at us. It's not like we see something tempting or we see something negative just one time. It comes at us over and over again. It keeps coming at us. That's the pattern. And then finally, there's this sudden ambush. And this is the way that the temptation works. Third, make a commitment now to purity and to develop a strategy before the temptation hits. Before the temptation hits. See, Joseph's resistance was not accidental or just natural instincts. Now, Joseph had integrity. Joseph was a man of integrity. Potiphar trusted him a lot. Potiphar even trusted him with his money. If someone trusts you with their money, they trust you with a lot. And he was trusted with Potiphar's money. Gene Getz, who wrote this book about men and having moral purity, said, anytime there is adultery, there is deception. If you'll make a commitment to integrity across the board, it will be easier to maintain that integrity when the opportunity to cheat sexually comes knocking. And we talked about that last week. We talked about being men who have a good reputation with our family and in the community. So when we're in these situations, when the temptation comes, we have to remember our responsibility. Remember the responsibilities that we have in our lives. Not just the need, but the responsibility. We know that we have needs and we can focus on our needs. We can focus on what we want and we think we need right there. But focus on the responsibility that we have. Focus on your family. Focus on your job. Focus on the people that count on you, that rely on you. As men of God, always live in the presence of God. Walk in the presence of God. Focus, as you're in the temptation, focus on the sin, not on the pleasure. You look at the original sin. You look at Adam and Eve. They saw the attractiveness of the fruit. They saw, you know, what they could have or what they thought they could have by taking from the tree. What they weren't looking at was the separation from God, the destruction of mankind. They weren't looking at that. They were looking at the attractiveness. And it's so easy for us as men, we look at the attractiveness of the woman and how she can, what we think she can make us feel like. But instead, we need to think about tearing up our family, destroying our spouse, destroying our children, the devastation, the hurt, the pain, the rejection. Pastor Jeff talked about last week at Man Up, the reputation, how that completely damages your reputation. Think about the destruction as far as STDs, the natural causes, and most importantly, the relationship, our relationship with God. What does this do with our relationship with God? We have to avoid opportunities to be tempted. If you carrying around your phone and you have easy access on your phone and you struggle with pornography and you have easy access with you all the time, it's not worth it. Get rid of it. Do whatever you can to get rid of that. Go back to a flip phone or don't even have a phone at all. It's not worth it. You've seen the movie Fireproof when the Kirk Cameron character, where he takes a bat to the computer and the neighbor's looking at him like he's crazy, but he's struggling with this addiction of pornography and he's willing to do whatever it takes to not have that in front of him all the time. You go to the gym and you're tempted by this same woman all the time at the gym, it's not worth it. Go to another gym. Don't keep putting yourself in those same situations. Flee from the temptation. That's what Joseph did. When you need to, flee, run, get out of there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Make a commitment to purity and to have a strategy before you even get into the situations. And then finally, be willing to pay the price for your convictions. One poet said it this way: heaven has no rage like love to hatred turned, not hell a fury like a woman scorned. Wow, have we found that to be true? I mean, I'm in these situations, and the wife who has been the victim of an affair, she's now literally going through the grief process, like someone has died. It's horrible to watch. And part of that process is anger. Part of the grief process is anger. And a big part of the process of healing from an affair is anger. And there is nothing like an angry woman. So Joseph in this situation, He was framed. He was absolutely framed. He was innocent and he was framed. And because of that, he spent the next years in prison. Now, Potiphar knew. Potiphar knew Joseph's integrity. Potiphar knew that Joseph was a man of integrity. And that tells us that as Christian men, trying to do the right thing, trying to live our life with conviction, people will slander you. People will falsely accuse you. People will say things about you that aren't true. They want to drag you down just because of your conviction, just because of who you believe in and how you live your life. They will try to drag you down. It's Satan. There's a spiritual battle taking place. He wants to ruin you. He wants to drag you down. And so this is a lifelong battle. The battle of purity is a lifelong war. So be aware. Be aware of the situations where you're most vulnerable. Be really aware of how temptations work in our lives. Make a commitment to purity and develop a strategy before the temptation hits. Be willing to pay the price for your convictions. Now, I understand, just being honest, as I talked to this group of men, there are men who have already committed sexual sin. And this message is very hard to hear because there's already been sexual sin committed. There's this beautiful thing. The gospel message is good news. Jesus sacrificed for your sin and gives you a new opportunity, gives you new life. With repentance, with a true heart of repentance, there is new opportunity, there is new life. He gives new opportunity. In John chapter 8, we see the story of the adulterous woman, the woman caught in adultery. And we see this encounter with Jesus and this adulterous woman. And Jesus hears her story and knows her story. And then in verse 11 of John chapter 8, Jesus says, "I do not condemn you either. From now on, sin no more. Go. And from now on, sin no more." And I have experienced many times working with couples where there has been infidelity, where there has been an affair. And they're in my office and they're thinking, this is over. It's never going to get better. This marriage is over. This sin that was committed has ruined this forever. And I can tell you, numerous times, it's not true. Numerous times, the marriages can be restored. There can be reconciliation. If both of the husband and the wife are willing to work, I mean really work and really go at it and really seek the Lord, there can be reconciliation after an affair. With all that being said, let's try not to get to that place. Let's commit ourselves to purity. Let's commit ourselves to growing in the Lord.